Well, good morning. Glad that you're here with us. These are my mentors, so it's kind of a moment I'm having right now, trying to see how am I going to frame questions to people that I really look up to and appreciate for your work, not only in your writings, not only in your teachings, but just how you interact with people and students and the care that you have for this scholarship broadly and in college sports specifically. So as we embark on the conversation today, you each bring a unique vantage point, academic background, scholarly expertise, and you also are housed in respective departments and universities that are a little bit different. But with that said, can you share with our audience your perspective and kind of give us an opening statement of your perspective of the current state of college sport? And we'll start with Dr. Hawkins.
Good morning. I would like to first thank Dr. Strowman for inviting me to be a part of this. And thanks, Dr. Carter-Franzik, for being a moderator. And I'm definitely honored to share the panel with, I would consider a mentor as well, Dr. Starowski, a mentor from afar. I also like to preface my comment about the state of college athletic with this statement. I'm streaming from the University of Houston, which is a former located in a former slave state. And it has been persistently a red state. The University of Houston and the city of Houston is named after a former slave owner named Sam Houston, who upon his death left 12 slaves to his widow. This acknowledgement is an effort to honor the legacy of enslaved Africans who labor, undergird the economic prosperity of this nation. Therefore, when I talk about intercollegiate athletics, one of the things that it remind me to, and some of my writings have alluded to it, this idea of how intercollegiate athletics is mimicking a similar current, definitely mimicking some of current and patterns that we have seen historically. One of the things I like to state when I look at the intercollegiate athletics now, if Black Lives Matter anywhere in the U.S., it matters in Power Five basketball and football. Okay, so that for me sums up sort of the state of intercollegiate athletics. Obviously, the economic prosperity is returning after the pandemic. I am amazed when I watch collegiate sport now, definitely football, at the stadium and increase participation or spectatorship. So I think one of the things we're witnessing is sort of this resurgence. I don't know if we're going back to normal. It seems as if we are, but I think there is sort of a new normal with, new legislation, which can definitely be talked about later on. But I think it is vibrant, and it's a vibrant field to continue to examine.
Dr. Starowski, some opening thoughts and comments on the state of college sport.
Good morning, everybody. I too would like to extend my deep appreciation to Dr. Strowman for the opportunity to be on this panel today, but also for her tremendous work throughout her entire lifetime. So Dr. Strowman, thank you so much for everything you do, and to ABIS for also being a partner in this. Dr. Carter-Franzik, how my heart goes out, the incredible work that you are doing and have been doing for so long. And we share the experience of having been presidents of the North American Society for the Sociology of Sport, and what a tremendous job you did with that. And Dr. Hawkins, we're talking about mentors today, and honestly, I just I'm so humbled to be on this panel with all of you, and to have the opportunity to talk about something that we've been looking at for a very long time. That quote from Dr. Bell, I think, wraps it up beautifully and depressingly in terms of the fact that there has been surface progress with nothing having changed. I think the very fact that colleges and universities continue to support and defend the very concept of amateurism by itself reflects the fact that they are willing to defend racist ideology. If we go back to the origins of amateurism, if we understand that that was a principle that was designed to exclude people to as an expression of white supremacy. If we can't come to grips with that very concept, then we're unable to affect the kind of change that needs to happen. And the fact in the 21st century that college and university presidents continue to allow this principle to continue, and for the NCAA to spend millions and millions of dollars in court attempting to defend it, it really gets to the crux of the problem, I think. Along with that, given the political climate that we're in right now, with states in the union that are passing laws to restrict curricularly educational initiatives to help us come to grips with the profound history that we have in terms of race in the United States, for us to be having this conversation in this moment, I think is incredibly important. And I think our work continues to be important for our students, for our institutions, given the political climate that we're in. So I'll let that be for the time being, and then I know we'll get into more specifics as we go through the day. So thank you.
Definitely. Thank you. Thank you for those opening remarks. I think you led us right into this important space that we're in right now, is why is CRT center stage at this moment? Why is it under attack? And so considering that question, I pose to you, Dr. Hawkins, of, you know, why is it center stage? And then how should we as educators and administrators, you know, respond to sort of these mediated conversations and even the legislative response that Dr. Starowski alluded to at the local school and even the respective state levels?
I think one of the reasons that it is at the center stage is because of this effectiveness in decentering whiteness, and that makes it problematic. I think, when you think about because of that, I think this is why we're seeing it sort of under attack, right? We shouldn't be alarmed. The Black community should be equipped to recognize this is counterintelligence. You know, this is a similar counterintel that operated in the 60s when, you know, FBI worked against Dr. Martin Luther King to make him somewhat of ineffective leader to try to sabotage his efforts in the civil rights movement. It worked against the Black Power Party, the Black Panther Party, and the Black Power movement, and trying to destroy, you know, its efforts as well. So again, what we're seeing now from the conservative activists who have launched this attack to discredit the brand, so to speak, is one of the things they have said, to distort the brand. Is another comment I've heard some of the conservative activists. It's counterintelligence. And when you talk about counterintelligence, the main thing about counterintelligence, it is the goal is to make it ineffective, to destroy it, to make it ineffective in the sense of if there is this opposition. And as I said, they're viewing it as an opposition to their status and the position of power. So I think we need to recognize this is counterintelligence, and I think we need to be true to our efforts in promoting and working against this propaganda, you know, continuing to refute their messages or their, you know, distorted images of critical race theory, you know, and that happens through our continued efforts in fighting for social justice, publishing and printing our own version of counter-intel material against their attacks. You know, I think, you know, as we remain steadfast to the efforts of overthrowing this propaganda, you know, their efforts will ultimately be rendered obsolete, you know, because again, you know, I think justice is when you think about the fight for social justice, you know, we have that on our side, this idea of trying to right not only current wrongs, but historical wrongs and patterns of discrimination and inequality that have existed. And I think, you know, this is one of the efforts that they're trying to slow down, or they see as attacking their status and power currently.
Thank you. You know, taking those notes and that notion of counterintelligence into consideration, again, still trying to understand and recognize CRTs, how it's being centered right now. You know, in what ways, Dr. Starowski, does CRT, this pushback, affect sport engagement and participation in our broader society?
I may not actually answer your question, Akilah.
Not a problem.
which is sort of standard form, right? As I was listening to Billy, there something was going off in my head in terms of sort of this whole recent dialogue around the NCAA and the aftermath of the Supreme Court's ruling in NCAA versus Alston. And among the many different things that came up there was this statement about that you wanted to watch what they did and not what they said. You wanted to watch what they do, not what they say. And in terms of, I think, the compelling reason for why CRT is so important and a consciousness around what it requires us to think about, which is the concept of race as something which is circulating through discussions on a regular basis within society and within sport, and all of the historical implications of what that means. I think if we look at what the NCAA has done in court in terms of athletes' attempts to be paid under the Fair Labor Relations Act, there have been a series of cases where athletes have attempted to access their employee rights. But what the part of the NCAA's defense has been the citation of a case called Van Schaik versus Peters. And that case has allowed an exception to the 13th Amendment that opens the door for prisoners not to be compensated. So the NCAA, in their defense of their policies, has likened the labor that athletes do on the field as being similar to what prisoners are doing. And of course, that whole exception tracks all the way back to slavery another justification for how to control Black bodies, Black labor, and Black lives. So this brings me to the reason why CRT is so important, because if you just listen to the narrative, all of the happy narratives around all of the good work that the NCAA does, and you don't actually watch their behavior, and you don't understand the history behind the decisions that they are making, then we can't possibly get at the root of what the issue is. This, you know, for an entity that says that it cares about its athletes, to have so many athletes suing them in court should be telling us something about just how many systemic failures are going on right now. So that doesn't really address your question per se, but to me, it's a foundational concept that needs to be understood in terms of why it's so important that we bring a CRT sensibility to our understanding about college sport.
I think in many ways, I argue you did answer those points, and even bringing up the notion of the 13th Amendment, and I encourage everyone to understand what Dr. Starowski is talking about in visual form, suggest Ava DuVernay's 13th. It's a film, I believe it's on Netflix. I think you can even go to her website, it's streaming for free right now, to understand that notion of labor, slave labor, and the historic preservation of it, if you will, through this amendment and what she's talking about with regards to prisons, and then liking it to this labor field, which I think in many ways leads into the excellent work of Dr. Hawkins with your new plantation text. And how you spoke about this plantation laborer, the migrant or oscillating migrant worker, when we talk about the Black athlete. Keeping that text in mind, as well as the wonderful work that you did with critical race theory, Black athletic sporting experiences in the US, which I was gladly to be a part of that, along with Joseph Cooper. But in that book and in their writings and the work that you've done, in the work, I even think of Dr. Singer, who's on the line, giving a quick shout out to. what are some of the topics and issues that have been examined when we talk about college athletics, utilizing CRT and deconstructed, deconstructed, decontextualized, analyzed, if you will? What have been some of those topics that scholars have used? What have been some of the issues in college sport that we have to keep in mind? Because it's more than name, image, likeness, right? Which we'll get to, but what have been some of those historic pieces as Dr. Starovsky alluded to?
I think there are several, as you know, there are several amazing authors and contributors to that volume. Yeah, Dr. Singer is one, him and his former student, current assistant professor, Williams is another. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, they looked at, you know, critical race theory as this activist tool that could, you know, create, you know, ways of, you know, pushing, you know, the needle as it comes to social justice issues. And, you know, we looked at, you know, not only from reform of collegiate athletics in this volume, but also academic experiences of student athletes, I think is another example of how critical race theory can be used. We looked at images, you know, representation of NFL players, Black, you know, Black masculinity among NFL players. So there's a host of different ways I think CRT has been used to sort of examine sport. And I think, again, when you think about the sort of the centrality of race, the intercentricity of race in sport, you know, it is a viable analytical tool. And I think one of the things that I suggested in one of the chapters I've written on intra-choice convergence, which we'll talk about later, is this idea of, you know, sort of moving it from this analytical tool to much more of a revolutionary theory and promoting social justice. But, you know, again, tremendous authors. We look at best practices and leadership, I think, is another area that, especially when you think about, especially in intercollegiate athletics, because of now, I think is amazing. We're seeing sort of a push for representation of Black women in key positions in some of the historical segregationist states and universities, you know, such as Virginia, with Carla Williams, Nashville, Duke, I can name a host, Auburn, that have now representation. And I think those are interesting cases that, you know, can be examined and should be examined using critical race theory and looking at leadership in college sports.